I think what can happen with someone who has addiction at Christmas is you can be very reflective. So you can be very, very much in your mind. The times when I found Christmas really difficult, and I was trying to be someone else and try and be the fun guy, the happy guy, whatever it was. On paper, it looked good to go to Vegas, stay there and have a fun time. But actually, it was pretty sad. I thought that I was getting to the point where that wasn't me. But I was still thinking that I should be that person. I'm Paul Scolfort, and this is Powerful. In this series, I come clean about my own sobriety and the journey it took for me to get here. In each episode, I will speak to a special guest about their addictions and how they achieve sobriety and how they maintain a happy lifestyle today. In these episodes, we will be talking about drug and alcohol misuse, suicide, sexual abuse, and some other heavy topics. So please take care when listening. Welcome back to This Is Powerful. This is our little special series for Christmas, the holidays, and the new year. I just wanted to tell you what I do for Christmas because it's important. I think back in the day, it was very, very scary to think of times like holidays and New Year's Eve parties and family because it can be quite difficult sometimes. And obviously, there's lots of booze around. So this year, we're having Christmas at my house. I like to host it. I feel a little bit like I have a bit of control on the situation, so we can set out the drinks and do the food and host people. It's going to be really nice. I used to dread Christmas, but it's going to be really nice. I love it now. I've got two kids. My parents will be coming over and my in-laws will be coming over. And it will just be, we get up in the morning. I usually have 5 minutes actually on my own, very early, just a little meditation, check in myself. And I'll go with the girls about 5 o'clock in the morning. They're usually fidgety by that time and shouting, can we go downstairs, Daddy? So we go downstairs early. I'll make a coffee. We just enjoy the kids. We'll put Christmas music on. And do you know what? It's so nice now. It's so warm. We're all present. We have presents. We sit down. And what I do, what I never used to do in the past, is I'll sit down with my children, look them in the eye, and just ask them questions about what they're opening, how we're doing it. And we do one present at a time. We talk about the present. We'll play with it. So I think it's really important for someone who has addiction to be in the moment. And I think it's important as well that for me personally, I help with the cooking. I like to set the tables out. I think it's really important to be busy. I think what can happen with someone who has addiction at Christmas is you can be very reflective. So you can be very, very much in your mind. And I know sometimes I've sat there and I thought about all the past, the destruction, the chaos that I've caused. The times when I found Christmas really difficult and quite painful to be around, unfortunately, my family, just because I was probably hungover and didn't want to be there. So I think it's really important for someone who has an addictive mind to be present, to enjoy yourself. We will have alcohol on the table for family members that will be drinking. But for myself personally, I do like to have, I used to love to have champagne and wine, but I get a sparkling tea. So it looks like champagne, it performs like champagne, but it's actually 38 different types of tea. And it kind of just sets the scene and sets the mood for everyone. And after that, I usually go for a walk. That's probably because my wife's a nutritionist and she says we should always walk after. But it's good to go for a walk, get some fresh air, get out the house. I don't know about you guys, but for me, sometimes I can feel a little bit smothered in that situation. And I'm always cautious upon reflection. And also sometimes it's difficult to be around alcohol. Usually we'll have some red wine and champagne. And when you pop the cork, for me, I have lots of memories of that sound. And I can smell the red wine. And red wine used to be my thing. So that I find difficult sometimes, if I'm honest. But I know I'm in a safe place. My family know I don't drink anymore. I have no intentions to drink. I was thinking about some of the Christmases in the past. And I remember living in Los Angeles. And I was away from my family. And Christmas isn't really celebrated much there, but they have the holidays. So I felt really lonely, if I'm honest. But we got a lot of friends together. to come to mind to have a roast dinner and celebrate and stuff. And it was all fun and jolly on the surface, and we had a good laugh. Everyone come in and we made it like a little family. But deep down, it wasn't. I felt lonely. I felt like I missed my family. I didn't go back to my family because I felt that's what I had to do. And I felt like, I wanted to have a new experience and enjoy my friends coming over. And some of them was not drinking and didn't want to party. So we actually made an agreement. We said, just come over, we'll have a roast dinner, watch some movies and have a good time. Well, I put the roast dinner on, and about 20 minutes in, someone suggested, why don't we just leave the dinner and drive to Vegas? Because there's not much to do in Hollywood at that time. So all my intentions went completely out the window. It's a funny story, but in hindsight, it's quite sad. But what we did, I turned the oven off, literally locked the house up, jumped in the cars, and we just drove to Vegas. And we had a great evening. It was very fun. But it soon turned into a bit of a dark episode. And what I mean by that is that I ended up staying in a hotel room 3 nights. I just got so anxious and so fearful of leaving this hotel room that we just stayed in there. We ordered some food, carried on drinking, and basically would just wake up, drink and party, and then go back to sleep. And then after 3 days, I just needed to get out of there. And this is a funny bit. When we got in the house, I opened the door, and there was a big black line from the back door up the ceiling all the way down into the oven. And it looked like someone had painted a foot wide black line. And I thought, what is that? And when I got closer, it was basically millions of ants had come in under the door, up onto the ceiling, because it left the chicken cooked in the oven with the oven door slightly open so they could smell it. And it basically, we had to get the pest control in to help us get rid of all these millions of ants. It was a mess. The reason I'm saying that is because we had good intentions, but the reality was that I was probably desperate to be in my family, and I was trying to be someone else and try and be the fun guy, the happy guy, whatever it was. And it ended up, on paper, it looked good to go to Vegas, stay there and have a fun time. But actually, it was pretty sad. And I spent the next few days in completely depressed, probably because of all the alcohol. I thought that I was getting to the point where that wasn't me. But I was still thinking that I should be that person. So I used to go to my parents for Christmas, which they always put on a good spread and a nice day. But the reality was, we used to go out on Christmas Eve. Like most young people, we'd find like a great party and go out, and then go to another party and another party, and probably end up back someone's flat. So I would return to my parents in the morning to go to have a Sunday roast. Usually around 1 o'clock they'd start. I'd get there probably 15 minutes before. I wanted to be happy and joyous and have fun. But I would be so hungover. And for those of you who know, when you're hungover, it's like you have flu symptoms, you're heavy, you can't think straight, you don't want to be there, everything's energetic, you don't want to help, you just want to relax, like shut things out. So I used to get to my parents and I'd go there and I couldn't bear the sight of alcohol because I've been out all night. I couldn't bear it. And I'd always drive. So I wouldn't actually drink sometimes at my parents because I still felt very, very ill. And if I'm really honest, I would worry that if I started to drink, I wouldn't stop. There wouldn't be enough there and I'd have to drive or go somewhere, which I never wanted to do. So I couldn't wait to get the Christmas lunch over. I couldn't wait to have dessert and then drink a big coffee and just say, right, I'm going now. Thank you very much, and leave. And that's really sad. I'm pretty close to my parents. We have a nice family. And I think looking back, I probably thought I was cool because I'll go out all night and do crazy things, come in hungover, go and have lunch and then leave and go and see my friends again. But actually, it's quite sad. You know, it's a time of celebration and time to be with your family. So that's how it used to be. So now it's nice to be present to have a nice time, to be free from all the alcohol and drugs. When I first had Christmas, my first sober Christmas, I found it incredibly difficult. It was at my parents' house. They were great. They're lovely. But I changed so much. I was in rehab for an entirety of around 6 months, with daycare included. So when it comes to the first Christmas, I was just asking my peers, like, what do I do? What do I do if there's alcohol on the table? What if they ask me questions about drinking? What if they try and protect me too much by saying, oh, don't put the alcohol near Paul? So all these things were going through my mind. I was quite vulnerable at the time anyway, because I'd done a lot of personal digging and reflection and work that was given to me when I went into treatment. So I did feel very raw and vulnerable. And also, you know, watching the same movies and TV shows with a family, it felt very out of place for me personally. What I did, I had a sponsor because I'm in a 12-step program, but also friends that are sober that don't have a 12-step program. So we all phoned each other in the morning just to check in. And what we made was intentions. So I'm going to share this because I think it's really important. When you feel that vulnerable and you're going somewhere, even if it's family and they're familiar, there's always a dynamic goes on. And some person or member can say something that will trigger you, or you could be offended and feel uncomfortable because you know that you're not part of the drinking crew, if they are drinking. So you need a toolkit. And my toolkit was to I phoned my sponsor. He said you can phone me anytime through the day. I checked in. I sat myself 5 minutes in the morning. And I think it's really important to know what you're doing. So my decision is, obviously, I'm not drinking, so that's not part of my day. So what's my intention for the day? If you set out an intention, you know exactly what you're doing. You can keep on that path. So my intention was to be as present as possible, to be as engaging as possible, to have a bit of a bulletproof vest. So if someone does say something offensive, or they say something which is probably harmful when you're that vulnerable, even if it's through humor or being irreverent, depending on the stages of how you are going through your recovery or rebuilding yourself or your mindset, you need to just take everything as it is, as just a joke, and not take something personal. So at my parents', I was helping to wash up, to put things away, even though they didn't want me to help because they wanted to take care of me. I wanted to be part of it. So I did that. We all went for a walk. There was an uncomfortable skirting around the alcohol situation. So I tried to make a bit of a bold move to say, don't worry, it's fine. You can drink. Don't worry about me. And actually, to be honest, my parents didn't really drink much at that point. They had a glass of wine at the table and then they put it away. So I know they was being super sensitive and caring, which I did appreciate. And then what I did, I left early. We had a great day. It wasn't about the length of time, but it was about, you know, you can spend an hour with someone and have such an engaging time and have so much fun, or you can be in the same room for 4 hours and not really engage. So we had such a really good day and I just went home and I did feel exhausted. I felt that first time being around alcohol since going into recovery, I felt like my body was being on guard and my mind was being on guard. And I was actually scared of thinking, oh, what if I smell it and I see it and I want to have some, what's going to happen? So when I left my parents, I jumped on the phone with some of my guys as well that were new in sobriety. And we just laughed and shared our stories and like high-fived each other in the air on the phone to say, well done. First Christmas we got under our belt. It was amazing. And actually that evening, a few of my friends, because I wasn't married at the time, said, should we just all meet up? So we all come to my house and just had loads of, you know, there wasn't much sober drinks then. We just had lemonade, water and whatever. But we ended up having probably more of a belly laugh that evening than I'd had for many years, because we were generally talking about our stories, our antidotes, what trouble we got into. But we also had a really nice, strong moment of saying, you know, putting intentions in for that year, what we're going to do, how we're going to get stronger, how we're going to maintain our recovery. And it was really nice. It was really cathartic. So Christmas now is fun. I love it. And I feel very grateful because I do have a sober Christmas. And it's more fun than the ones that when I wasn't sober, which when I hear myself say it, it sounds strange, but it's true. If someone's not sure what to do for these holidays and this Christmas time, what I would do is I'd get up in the morning, I'd have an intention that I'd make a decision. I'm not going to drink today. That's the first decision. That's all you have to do. Phone a friend or someone who's also on the sobriety journey. If you have a sponsor, speak to your sponsor and know they're not too busy. They'll be happy to speak to you. And set an intention. So take drinks with you. There are lots of non-alcoholic drinks that you can drink. There's loads of sodas. There's loads of water, whatever you want to drink. But take your own drink. If you're going to family members, and this is a new thing for you, if you're close to your parents, speak to them and say, listen, guys, I'm not drinking. I'd really appreciate if you just don't make a big thing out of it. I'm just going to have water and whatever I do. I put that intention first. If they want to make a big deal out of it, say you can say to them, it seems to bother you more than it does me. I'm not drinking today, so let's move on to a different subject. Go for a walk after you've eaten food. A, it's good for digestion anyway, but then you can use the phone someone else. You can give yourself a bit of fresh air, reset your intentions, go back. And another thing is just to try to be helpful. Try to make it not all about you because you're not drinking. Help clean up, help set up, help whatever, have a laugh, have a joke. Because if you don't, you'll be withdrawn. If you're withdrawn, usually you're in your mind, and if you're in mind, you're sitting there probably reflective, thinking you don't fit in. So to feel like you fit in, always look people in the eye, always engage in conversation. Maybe read some things before, get crackers so you can read the jokes, be that person. And then when you want to go, go. Just say, I've had a wonderful time. I need to go. I need to recharge myself. Or I just want to have a quiet time. Whatever it is works for you. But don't feel like you have to drink because they're drinking. Don't feel like you're the odd one out. Think about yourself as a vanguard, the first 1%, someone who's looking after themselves for themselves, no matter what. And trust me, your family would rather see you like that than stand next to your grave or a hospital where you're in trouble, or if you hurt yourself or you damage yourself with alcohol. They would rather see you as you are. For those of you that may be going to friends' houses or family members' houses and staying overnight, this can be difficult, but it's not impossible. And you, again, we're lucky because we have mobile phones, and I think that's the key, really. And what I mean by that is, if you're going to someone's house, again, not to make a big deal out of it, you don't have to say anything, but if they are quite pressuring people in drinking and partying, probably not the best idea to go. But if you have no choice and you go, I would probably talk to the most sensible person there and say, listen, I'm not going to drink today. And if they ask you why and you say, I just don't want to drink today, that's it. I'm looking after my health. And if you say it with honesty and determination and real, you've made that decision yourself, it has more power and people go, oh, okay, fine. But if you're like, well, you know, I'm not sure, I just don't want to drink. If you're wishy-washy in any way, or you start to say, oh, you know, I'm trying to be healthy, I'm trying. Don't do that. You say, this is what I'm doing, and leave it at that. People won't challenge you. People just go, oh, okay, fine. Do you mind if we drink? That actually can be quite helpful. So make a decision. Believe your decision and other people will. So you've got to be strong on it. Not offensive, but just firm. I want to be fresh. I want to enjoy your company, and I want myself to enjoy my own company. That's it. You can't argue with that, okay? There's incredible different variations of 0.0 beer or different types of wine. I've never had it myself, but if that's your choice, you can do that. Great different sparkling teas. And also, if you feel comfortable, if you like your drink, lots of ice and Diet Coke, that used to have scotch in it or something, just have the Diet Coke and the thing so you may feel comfortable. Take stuff with you. If you can take a board game, take a gift, whatever, something else to do. But have a plan. Have a plan when that time when everyone's really drinking stuff and just say, guys, I'm going for a walk. Guys, I've got a really important phone call. I've got to help someone out on Christmas Day. Go and phone this friend of yours that's on the same journey and be honest and say, I'm feeling really pressured. I'm not at home. My energy's a bit low. If you're in 12-step program, you can do a Zoom or you can find local meetings. So you can say, I have a meeting I'm going to. You don't have to tell them what it is. If they know you're sober, then you can tell them. So keep yourself safe. And how it works is when you're with the people, the house that you're with them, you're enjoying them, and they will know that you're having a good time and they're having a good time. So it doesn't matter if you leave and come back. But if you're sitting there looking at your feet and your shoes thinking, oh my God, I can't be here. How does this work? No one's going to enjoy it. But always remember, you don't have concrete shoes on, so you can always remove yourself. There's nothing worse than thinking that you have to stay somewhere. There's one really important thing at Christmas, and people don't think about this, but dehydration and thirst. When you're thirsty and you see alcohol around, you will be really tempted. So really rehydrate yourself. It's not a joke. Drink 3 or 4 liters of water if you can through the day. Just keep drinking water, and you'll be fed up with drinking water and consuming something, which is a good thing because you won't be thirsty. If you're thirsty, you'll be tempted for any liquids whatsoever. But if you're hydrated, I mean really hydrated, you probably won't want to consume anything anyway. So it's a really good key thing. So before you go somewhere, as long as it's not a really big journey, make sure you drink lots and lots of just pure water and keep yourself really rehydrated. If you're not thirsty, you're not tempted to drink. It's like if you're not hungry, you're not tempted to eat. So use water. It's a really good tool. Right, New Year's Eve. Oof. How do you deal with that one? Good question. I used to love New Year's Eve. Well, actually, I think every weekend was New Year's Eve for me, but New Year's Eve was just a legitimate excuse to go crazy. And I used to go crazy on there. And I used to find the people that would go crazy with me, so I didn't look like I was the crazy one. New Year's Eve can be difficult because of the peer pressure, because of the society pressure that you've got to celebrate. You've got to be jumping around when the clock turns midnight. It's not true. You don't have to do that, or you don't have to do it with drink or drugs. So I used to go out all the time, and New Year's Eve was no different from any other time, except you'd go completely crazy and celebrate it and probably not remember it anyway. I remember some things. I remember years living in Miami, and I'd phone my sister at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking, she's so boring. Why is she in bed? What's wrong with this person? Not understanding at all that she's got children and she's had an early night and et cetera, et cetera. I just thought, why wouldn't you just be out? Why don't you be doing what I'm doing? And in hindsight, it was a pretty selfish way of being, but I just didn't get it at that point because it was an excuse to drink, excuse to do drugs, and an excuse to go wild. There's a lot of peer pressure. If you're trying to stop drinking, or you've stopped and you've stopped drugging, A, don't go to the same place. Don't go out with the friends that you was doing it with, because you're not going to enjoy yourself. They're going to be doing their own thing. You're going to feel like the odd one out. And more than likely, the pressure will get to you and you could end up using. I'm not saying you will, but it's a possible thing. And you've got to ask yourself, is it worth putting my new person into that, in that position and taking the risk? Probably not. It's difficult because as humans, we always think we're missing out, like FOMO, our fear of missing out, or what will they think of me? You kind of got to be a bit more stronger and self-respectful and not engage in that. If you're feeling strong, you can go out for sure. But maybe go out later. Don't go out at 7 o'clock when everyone's there starting drinking. Maybe go out at 10 or 11. This is just my opinion, so that you're strong. You've not been worn down by 5 hours of everyone else drinking and drugging around you. And you know the conversation's all wrapped around those things. So it becomes quite tedious and boring if you're not drinking. Make a firm decision with your friends, like enjoy them drinking. Go, oh, guys, you're having fun. This is amazing. If they ask you, don't you miss out? No, I'm here for you, not for the drink. I'm with you guys and you're with me. So we're going to do this together and we're going to have fun. You can sing, you can laugh, you can dance, you can do what you want. You can celebrate after. Once you've gone through the midnight, if you're comfortable, stay for a while. If you're not comfortable, leave. It's as simple as that. So you've showed up, you've turned up, you've been there. It's great. You've enjoyed yourself. You've seen your friends. They've seen you. And in the morning, when you phone them up, if they are up or they pick the phone up, you can say, thanks, that was a great evening. It's as simple as that. We tend to make it difficult ourselves because of the thought process of what if they judge me, whatever. Forget all of that. Put it aside and just do what you want to do. If you're vulnerable and it's too much pressure and you're really fresh in the sober game, don't go out. There's great things you can watch on TV. Have some friends around that are in the same game if they are. Or if you feel safe with your close family, maybe celebrate and have a dinner. One New Year, a friend of mine, it was probably half of us were sober. We rented a house and we went there and we had the most amazing evening. I was really quite nervous actually. Because if you've just been to parties and parties and parties and New Year's and that's your way of being, then it's quite difficult to change it. But all of us had this really great thing. We looked at all the traditions of New Year's, like playing games. We wrote down all the list of things that we don't want in our lives anymore. We burnt them up, threw them in the fireplace, and we did this game where you run out the back door, come in and run in the new door with all your new intentions. And it was actually probably the most fun, engaging New Year's I've had to date. There was 10 of us and we was really enjoying that process. And we've been out before, all of us, and you end up just dancing, not talking to each other, shouting over the music, etc., etc. But this was really, really good, wholesome stuff, and it was fun as well. And we all told stories over the fireplace and sung, you know, the New Year hymn. So it was really good. I personally don't do New Year's resolutions anymore, and I'll tell you why. I do it in a quite addictive way. So I have a list of like, okay, no bread, no carbs. I'm going to lose this amount of weight by the end of January. I'm going to take on a new course to learn. I'm going to set myself a goal to go to the gym 4 times a week. Whatever it is so much pressure. And pressure isn't good for people that are newly in sobriety or trying to change their life, right? So there's a way of doing it. What I do personally, like I'm going to do this year, I set little intentions, very easy bite-sized intentions. So I will just do a list for 6 months to say, go to make sure I hit the gym 3 times a week, to be kinder to myself, to make sure that for this year, my sobriety is fully in place. I'm steadfast. To try and find, if you're in a 12-step program, some new meetings, try and find new people that you can sponsor, try and learn deeper stuff about the program, maybe take a little course on mindset or goal intentions or something that you haven't done before. So I'll keep it really, really simple. And for myself personally, I'll do a little thing like, obviously I want to be a better father. What little thing can I learn this year? What can I add to my family in a good way? And it doesn't have to be big. So I always used to do huge things, really, really big things. And it always puts pressure on. And I think that's why it always fails. Little goals for yourself that mean something to you. Maybe if you've never exercised, just pick up yoga, whether it's once a week, twice a month, whatever it is, go out. Buy yourself a diary. It's really important to do personal journaling. And I know that's got really rinsed out. And personal journaling, people go, oh my God, personal journaling. But if you really get to know yourself deeper, so my intention every year, like this year, is how can I know myself better? Why do I want to know myself better? If you suffer from addiction and alcoholism, it's very easy to carry on with certain behaviors and you have very strong emotions and strong thought process. So the more you know yourself, the more equipped you are against any triggers, any problems, any fears you have. So I'll do a little inventory to look at my fears, if I have any resentments and my intentions for that year. And I'll just do a small incrementing list of things that are very, very achievable. So if someone's come into sobriety, we've usually pretty much hurt ourselves and damaged ourselves. So instead of making a big step to be like, oh, I'm going to be an ultra marathon runner by Tuesday or an Olympian by Wednesday, I would simply look at how you can slowly change the way you eat. So slowly change your food from ultra processed food into healthier food. Maybe change your drinks that are high sugar drinks down to water or sparkling water. Just a little bit of self-care. Maybe give yourself two different things to do each day to help someone else, to take you out of your own thought process. So you building self-esteem. But don't put pressure on yourself. Just give yourself little goals. So my intention for 2025 is that we've got season two for the podcast, This Is Powerful, which I'm really excited about. And we've got some good guests. I want to learn more about sobriety. I want to learn more about mindset. As a father, I want to grow my relationships with my children. I want to enjoy them, really be present. What I find difficult is to be present. What does that mean? As an addict, I can sit in a room of 100 people. Everyone's laughing and joking and having a nice time. And I can feel like the odd one out because I'm thinking I'm different from these people. So I want to be more engaging and more present in this year. Personally, I need to get fitter. I say need to because I used to be incredibly fit, but I've beaten myself up quite a lot from my using over the years. So I want to get back into my martial arts. And the reason I want to get back into martial arts is just self-improvement and self-healing. So I practice a martial art called Pakwa. So my intention is to practice that more. And that's it. I'm just going to keep it very simple. Not going to put pressure on myself. Those are achievable goals. And when I do them goals, then I can incrementally add something else on. So that's what I'm doing. Alcohol is actually a really small part of the holidays. But it feels like a huge part of the holidays, but actually it's a tiny bit. And alcohol is very tricky. It's a subtle foe. You can think, oh my God, I'm not drinking. Oh, how am I going to engage? How am I going to have fun? How am I going to do whatever? That's all a lie. When you think about it, it's all a lie. The truth is what are you going to gain? You're going to gain self-esteem, confidence. You're going to gain respect from other people, respect for yourself. In hindsight, on reflection, you will realize that actually I was there, I was present, I had a powerful day, I had so much fun. I really got to know probably my friends and family more and myself more, because when you're drinking, sure, you may be laughing and cracking jokes and stuff, but it's really about those bits, and you're not even in the room really, and you can't remember a half of it. And really, when you look at it, your relationships get better. You'll have better time playing with your kids, engaging with your grandparents, engaging with friends. And actually, when you get used to that, it becomes fulfilling. You know, you'll have such a good memory bank of good times and building on these relationships. And you won't know till you know. So I never knew until I gave up drinking. And also you gain time. Okay, we're all here for a small period of time. And the more you are drinking, losing your memory, not engaging by having hangovers, you're wasting your time and really everyone else's time. This podcast is brought to you by Stride Foundation. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please head over to www.stridefoundation.com, where you can find links to resources that may help. You can also make a donation. Please make a donation. It will help us bring to you more episodes. And if you enjoyed This Is Powerful, please rate, review, and follow the podcast to share it with your friends, your family, anyone you can, and head over to social media. I always love to see and hear how you react to the episodes, and it's so helpful for our content to be shared. Thank you also to my beautiful wife, Dr. Federica Marti, the best producer, Shannon Delwich, to Henry, you know who you are, and to Emma Long, who does all the hard work in the background. And there's a whole catalogue of episodes wherever you get your podcasts. But did you know you can also watch it on YouTube? Just search for This Is Powerful with Paul Scofield.
Tired of waking up with a hangover?
Or just of generally feeling anxious with limited memory and a suspicious itchy feeling in your crotch?
Yep, we are too. I'm Vic.
And I'm Hamish.
And until recently, we were your average binge drinkers. Until we gave up and started the Sober Awkward podcast.
In it, we take a deep look at every aspect of sobriety. The funny, the weird, and the plain awkward.
So join us every week as we say cheers to a more authentic, confident, sober version of ourselves. Did that sound a bit cheesy, Haim?
Yeah, you sound like a total twat, but they were going to find that out soon enough anyway.
Yeah. Listen to Sober Awkward wherever you get your podcasts.